Yeah, G30 on the move. Where are you? Tell them where you're at right now, Nelson.
Hey, well, let's back up. It's another G30 podcast. I might sound weird. Welcome, everybody. We are on the road show this week. I'm on vacation this week before my job picks up in early August. Like a couple of other G's out there in Twitterverse. I've seen this week a lot of school-based G's kind of getting into new jobs. And, of course, Eric the Hammer, I don't know if he listens to this, but he's taking a new job. He's like an administrator guy in schools in Dallas. There's education G's on the move, but I am in the desert right now. Hopefully it doesn't sound too bad. I'm on my mobile setup. This is a good trial run. What's up with you guys? Timmy's here today. Timmy, what you been up to?
Just been working my ass off, man. It's been crazy.
What's the best part of your job, and what's the trickiest part of your job?
The best part, if I'm gonna be honest, it's the pay. Also, the type of environment that's like at that place, because that environment is just like so different and so like entertaining to be around. Because everyone in that warehouse is mainly Hispanic, and like it's a very diverse place, and all they speak is Spanish, and it is the funniest thing in the world. Oh my gosh! But hey. I think the trickiest part is not staying late, because you have so much work to do throughout the day and so little time to try and complete it. You can have overtime. They'll give you overtime, but like, I'm just trying to get home. So I try to finish as much as I can. You know what I mean?
For sure. Are there a lot of G's in that warehouse, or people across town in that warehouse?
It's a bit of both, man, but more G's to be honest. Yeah.
Yo, Mikey, what you been up to?
Just figuring it out, man. Don't know what I'm figuring out, but every day is a step forward in the right direction. So
there we go. There we go. On the hustle. So we were just a little backstory. Let's rip the Band-Aid off and talk about Dallas. You know, Mikey and I were at the Dodgers game. They surprised me for my birthday. And Timmy was giving us updates, and we were kind of watching on the phones, keeping an eye on the Galaxy game, which did not go well. Timmy, you want to walk us through that? You're the resident expert on that Dallas game here.
It's, you called it, Count. It was one of the craziest, weirdest games to ever happen. And the fact that we lost like that, like really bad, it was kind of concerning, to be honest, because we haven't lost like that bad in, I think, a while. It's been almost a year since we lost like that, right? I think, yeah. Like last season. And I couldn't wrap my head around what the hell happened. It was like the whole team just like did not want to play. We didn't have any fight in us that game. I was telling my mom, who was watching the game with me, and I was like, I don't know what to say. I don't know what flaws. It was from like A through Z from what was going on. I just didn't want to say it, but it was just so much like bad happening. I think one spotlight was Granser like trying to like make something happen, but in the end it just did not work.
So the bright spot is Grants, right? So you went to that question right away. I was going to ask you what the bright spots and the low spots were. But if you had to pin the blame on someone for this game, and we all kind of know it's a team loss, this one, and we'll kind of break down the road trip after this. But if you had to pin the blame somewhere, where would you put it?
I would say the attack, because, I mean, we just couldn't put away our chances. That's been an occurring problem these last couple away games. We just haven't been able to, you know, finish on our chances. We create them beautifully. We have beautiful like transitions. The passing is great. Our chemistry is there. It's just the finishing ability. And our main like player who finishes our chances, Chicharito, has been out. And that's been a struggle for us. And it's crazy to think that our second best attacking player is Revolution. And he scored he scored 3 goals in 4 games from just appearing here, which is an amazing stat. But he also wasn't here this game, which is crazy to say.
It's, you know, it's something that's been talked about for a while, and I'm seeing it again this week, right? When we don't generate attack, our defense can't hold up, right? Like we don't give them a chance from the get-go. And this patchwork offense, and Mike, I want to come to you in a minute, because you were the one that first discovered the, you had, you, how do I say this? You had some thoughts on the formation when that became available to us with Victor. You wanna tell us what you were thinking there when you saw Victor as the effectively the false nine?
Yeah, so we were on our way up the hill, and I got a notification on Twitter. You know, the lineups had came out, and I looked at it, and I went, oh, we were not in for – I looked at the lineup, and I could have told you we weren't going to get any offensive production. When Victor Vasquez is playing essentially as that false nine, he is our top creator, and what – and there are very few instances where someone who is your top creator can also be your top finisher. I feel like we suffered the consequences for not playing Zubac. Or not playing an actual number nine. We sort of just let three creative players play the final three, and no one was able to get to the end of any of the chances that were created. You know, it's not in any of those guys' DNA at the moment.
Yeah, there's no killers there. Maybe Granser, you know, maybe Cabral one day. We don't need to talk about that anymore. But nope. It was bad. It was a rough road trip. But I want to highlight something that Corner of the Galaxy had brought up. And they had said that, you know, we got one out of nine possible points, which is terrible. But we didn't change in standing, and we didn't really lose too much ground. And that he thought it was kind of a broader, like, judgment on the league. Like, why wouldn't you have more of a break for the Gold Cup or whatever, right? Like, it's the fact that we didn't lose ground getting 1 point out of nine. The idea was that, you know, that's more of a league issue and kind of points to the fact that everyone is shorthanded, which for better or worse kind of worked out in our favor. But looking ahead to Portland, we need to get a result, boys. We need to get a result really bad. Yeah, I don't know. Let's whip back around. Mike, what are you thinking about this Portland game? Remember, they don't have Diego Chara anymore. Diego Chara was the victim of a racial attack. And like, there was nothing in the investigation. And after like 11 years, Diego Chara, like a league. I mean, that's like saying Darlington Nagby or like Kyle Beckerman. Like, he's not there. But I mean, we saw Portland give it to LAFC really good over the weekend at the last minute. What are you thinking about this Portland game?
I'd be concerned. I wouldn't fancy our chances going up against any team in the league right now the way we're going. And if we're going to put out that same front three consisting of Cabral, Vasquez, and Granser, I mean, I think it's not a time to experiment. I saw a tweet that we and the other podcast were mentioning, and it was the Cruising Down the Street account. They were saying, does Vanny try and come out defensive and absorb Portland, or do we just stick to our game? I believe that we should just play our game. We obviously don't do well when we try and compensate for other teams' play styles, because we ourselves don't have an identity without Chicharito still. So I think it's time to just put out our best lineup that we can. Don't play anyone in a false nine, because it's not going to work. And let's just go out and let's try and punch Portland in the mouth, which I think will be unlikely.
Sounds good. So, sorry about that. It's like a horrible call. Timmy, we've been talking the last couple of weeks, and in the Twitterverse, they've been, you know, asking the question, are we just Chicharito? It seems like they've been holding him out. It was like survived the road trip. And, you know, now we have the likes of O'Neill Fisher coming back, Jamaica being eliminated in the Gold Cup. We're only missing Jonah and Legette. Let's say we get the pieces back. Cheech comes back at home, first home game in four games. You think the boys get it done, or are you worried?
I wouldn't say I'm worried. I mean, I was definitely concerned about the Dallas game, but I'm not worried. I know Vanny has solutions to pretty much every little thing. If he sees one thing that's like, you know, which is what I've said in previous podcasts, that if he sees something that's wrong, he changes it like absolutely, like immediately. So I'm not concerned. But then again, it's like, I don't know. It just all depends if like we have Cheech back, and if also Sega. It also depends if Sega comes back.
Yeah. As well. Okay. So I've seen all of the center back pairings I want to see. Mike and I had been talking. I wanted to see the different kinds, and that's actually what we got. We got Williams and Nick. Didn't work. We got Williams and Steris again. Not what it was at the beginning of the season. Granted, both of those guys have been out for a while, and Steris pulled up again. And in the game, the goals we gave up, pretty much the goals we've given up in the last two games have come from center pairing defensive errors. Yep. So I guess like the last thing I need to see is Sega back in there, Cheech back. Yes. Mike, I'm going to ask you, this isn't your official corner question. I've got one for you later too, but I'm going to ask you for a hot take right now. It being, you know, we're only really missing Jonah and Legette now in the gold cup. Who do you think we miss more, Jonah or Legette? Try and be fair.
These days, I feel like we miss Legette a little bit more because Legette is our Band-Aid guy. He has so much versatility, even though we feel bad for the guy because he can't find a position that is truly his, as opposed to Jonah where he's been playing that pivot. I feel like we can replace the pivot. We've seen us do it with Ravolosin or how whatever his name is these days.
We have an official pronunciation. It's Ravolosin.
Ravolosin. Okay. So Jonah has seemed to be replaced. Legette, I feel, holds more versatility because we can't play Jonah in the same amount of positions we can play Legette and have him do it well, you know?
Yeah, Legette does some, and we see this time and time again with the U.S. Legette does the dirty work, man, and he doesn't complain about it. Timmy, who do you think? Being you know, firmly in Jonah's camp, I think we all love Jonah, right? But there's the questions that have come up now. Who do you think we miss more, Jonah or Legette?
I'm going to have to agree with Michael on this one. It's mainly Legette because he is another attacking threat. He brings, like how Mike said, he's a Band-Aid. If someone's missing, he's there to replace that certain person. And he just brings that, like, attacking ability because, you know, Vasquez can't play all 90 minutes. Sasha can't play all 90 minutes. He can if he has to, but, you know, he won't. Legette will. He'll put in that dirty work for at least a good solid 80 minutes, and that's important.
On the regular, man, for sure.
Yep.
So let's wrap this talk up with Dallas. Let's try and get a little bit more positive before we talk Portland or talk about moving forward in general. Is this slump just a slump? Is it just the Gold Cup slump, or are we in trouble, Mikey?
I think we could be in trouble if we don't pull it around. I want to come out and be optimistic and be like, hey, maybe this is just a slump, and it could very much be so. That, but I feel like if we keep stumbling down the line, picking up results that aren't favorable for us, I feel like this could easily turn into this could be a momentum switch in our season, and it could lead on a downward spiral. But I think with the reinforcements that we'll be getting back soon, if we can get a decent result against Portland, we can sort of look past these or the shitty road trip and hope for the best. So I think
Timmy, cool. Timmy, you want to weigh in on that slump or slaughter, let's call it?
I think we're just in a bit of a slump right now. It was a very difficult road trip. We were down a couple guys, injuries. It's all part of the game. But I think once we have everyone back and everyone's 100%, I still believe that we're a championship contender team. Once we have all the pieces together, I know Williams, I'm going to say this because a lot of people have been talking about Williams' game. If you really think about it, Williams kind of like took a big hit at our last game against Portland. He was attacked racially. He was racially abused. He was going through a lot at that time. And I think from what I see in his game, how much it has changed so much, it kind of like affected his mindset, I think, if you think about it, because he doesn't, you know, he's more hesitant on his tackles from what I realized. And that defensive mistake, a lot of the defensive mistakes have been, you know, mainly because of him. So I'm not losing my faith in Williams just yet, but I'm hoping that he picks it up very soon.
Yeah, I was gonna bring that up. He looks almost timid, and it's definitely got to be a mind game, and we got to get behind the guy. He's our guy. He's the starter. We know he is. Mm-hmm. I think Sega was brought in to be the other starter.
Yes.
And ultimately, it's between him and Depew. But we'll see. But we need to see a switch here from Williams too. And Mikey, I think what you said about it being a potential like pendulum shift, like that's
yep.
That we gotta keep an eye on that. Yeah, guys. So let's see here. Mikey, I'm gonna ask you your hot button question, your Mike's Corner question.
Let's do it.
Now, and I just thought of it and I posted about it a little bit ago. Mm-hmm. Once upon a time in the league, Pipo Gonzalez was a beast.
And yeah, now like every one of our defenders.
And he went to Italy. And that's where we picked them up from. Do you think people came back a diminished player, or do you think the team environment and the team around him just was not a setup for success? Do you think
coming
he was
back from the Gold Cup or coming from Italy?
No. Coming from Italy. Ultimately, his legacy seems to be that he's going to be, you know, like one of the worst defenders we ever had. Do you think that's unfair to him, or do you think he just came back a changed man?
I think it's a little bit of both. I there was a long period of time where I didn't mind people all that much. He was great. He played well alongside Polenta. That was a pretty good pairing when that was a thing for a little bit. Missing Polenta more these days. I'm like, fuck, dude. But I think he came during the twilight of his career thinking he was going to play in America. And as he's gotten older, the game has gotten quicker, and that doesn't favor guys that are older and aren't able to get physical. You know, that's why I feel like we have guys like Sega and Depew and Williams who are not necessarily young by any means, but they're willing to keep up with the pace of the league. So I think it is a little bit of both, where maybe the league didn't favor him, but by the time he came here, I think he had his mind set on other endeavors. So
That's a very tidy answer, Mike, and I appreciate that. That's I felt like I was listening to SportsCenter. G30's own Stephen A. You know, we're kind of wrapping up. We don't really have all too much to talk about, and this is the traveling pod, like we've said this week. No live component. But we've talked Dallas, we've talked Portland. I think we all agree we need a win. I'm going to go ahead and give a 1-0 win because we're back at home. And I think Cheech being back provides like some kind of a morale boost. I think when Cheech fights up top, that kind of inspires, you know, he's tired, man. I think that kind of inspires the rest of the team to get the result for him. I think he comes back. I think we get a 1-0 if he comes back. I want to know what you think, Timmy.
Shoot. I want to say we're going to win, but I don't know. I'm going to say same as you, count a 1-0 win, but worst case scenario that we don't get Chicha back, I'd say that we have a draw because we have kept our promise from not losing two in a row. So I hope we can still keep that up with this game. So I'm going to say 1-0 win if Cheech comes back, 0-0 if he doesn't.
Okay. That's fair. Mikey.
Yeah. I'm going to go on record and say we pick up our second draw of the season. I think we're going to play out a 2-2 draw, maybe see a goal from Grandeur Cabral, one of the two, and maybe we can see Ryan get on the score sheet again. So, yeah.
I think that's all very measured, boys. I think that's we're getting to that point in the season where we can kind of put our emotions aside and realistically try and get these score lines. I think it's good. There's still a lot of overreaction on Twitter. Guys, calm down.
Yeah,
don't even give me
answer. Y'all don't even surprise me anymore.
we're fans of the team. We're fans of the team. Remember, but much love to the Twitterverse. Oh, we didn't talk about Dejan Jovelic. So I brought the people thing up, Mike, because today it seems that we're trying to make a move so we can make the cap space for Dejan, likely under the under-22. Rule where his salary doesn't hit the cap as hard as it would otherwise. Dejan, 17-26 at Eintracht Frankfurt. Thoughts, boys? I don't know. Reinforcements sound good right about now.
Yes, they do.
What do you got to say, Tim?
Well, I checked a little bit of his highlight tape out, and that man is a threat in front of the goal. He is a goal scorer. He would put himself into a position where he knows he can score, and that man will score it 90% of the time. I like his play style. And the stats show 17 goals in 26 games. That's pretty impressive for a 21-year-old kid. So I have a lot of faith in him if we're able to acquire him.
Yep. Mikey?
You actually go for it because I'm doing my due diligence right now. I have a comparison I want to make, and I don't want to sound stupid.
Okay. I like it. See, we're professionals now. Yep. I think it's good, man. I think it's ultimately confidence shattering to Zubac. I think it says Zubac, you just ain't it.
Yeah.
But I like it. I think it's exciting. Last couple of seasons, we've kind of been ragged on around the league as like the old person, like our team was really old, and now we have a good mix of experience and young players. And he looks pretty good. He looks nimble. Mm-hmm. He's not like super fast, but dude gets it done. He seems mm-hmm. a little bit like a right place guy, right time
okay.
guy.
Okay, here we go. So when I was watching or looking over Dejan Jovlic, I was able to draw a lot of comparisons to his former alum, who is also a Serbian player who made a big money move not too many years ago, Luka Jovic. Luka Jovic, the striker, he had went over to Real Madrid not too many years ago, didn't have a successful stint, and he's now found himself back. I think he's back at Madrid. I think he's back from loan from Frankfurt because he had went back. But they're both alums there. They both came up in the same system, and they are both Serbian. They are both Serbian strikers. So I see a lot of the same skill set in sort of the old, not the older, but in sort of the way that the Serbian strikers are brought up. They're very traditional, but with a little bit more pace. I think this would be a great investment because we could have ourselves a Luka Jovic part two on our team. So,
you know,
he showed signs of the same potential. So
I love it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It seems to be that Serbian system. They're not necessarily the most technical players, but they're bruisers and they know how to get it done. Seems really compliment to Chicharito. Right? If one's not in the right place, the other one will be in the right place. If they play together, who knows? We could see them playing in a two-striker system. Maybe Zubac's still off the bench. We don't know what, but...
I would really love to see him as a hitman, just like Jovic. In his stint that got him the move to Madrid, where it was just him up top, he shredded all the top clubs in the Bundesliga, and, you know, he got his big money move. So his return was similar to Jovic at the time. And the fact that he isn't being monitored more closely, probably because he's 21, that might be a factor. But this is a perfect opportunity for us to have ourselves a striker, and especially a young DP striker, to pair alongside Cabral for a significant amount of time.
Hell yeah.
Right. Cheech maybe bows out a little bit after a couple of years, and now our front three is Rancer, Jovlik, if he pans out, and Cabral, who knows? You know, you can say a lot of shit, but you have to give it to Greg. The man knows how to make moves. He might not hit on all of them, even if he missed on Cabral, right? I saw somebody say this. He still hit on Revolution, probably hit on Sega, hit on Rancer, probably. Rancer. Right? Mm-hmm. Right? Like 4 out of 5 moves, bro. Like, you know, you have to give him credit.
You can't get them all.
Yeah. Can't get them all. And he knows what he's building. And remember, we could sell these guys, Mike, I think to your point. Like, could you imagine and this is fantasy now, but imagine you do develop this guy and there's a blockbuster signing from MLS, like bigger than McKinney, bigger than, you know, McKinney came from Dallas, you know, like we seem to be kind of venturing into that selling league thing. So I think it's good. Yeah.
I'm all for it, man.
Yeah.
I'm all for it too.
That's it, guys. That's another G30 podcast. Final thoughts before we hit that music.
Talk to him, Tim.
Okay, so I kind of, before we head out, I kind of made a confession to Count in the group text. And that was after, you know, Cabral had a really, really poor performance. I kind of relapsed a little bit and started watching some Christian Pavon highlights. And I was like, oh, dude, there's no way I miss this guy again.
I forgot about it.
it's like the ex you don't need back in your life.
Exactly, dude. But here's what I'll say this, though. It's because his play style, he was a very aggressive attacker. And the way that he, like, you know, played and he put up those MVP stats on a really shitty team, it just had me relapse a little bit. But I'm not saying, like, oh, bring him back. I'm not going to go, like, the extra mile and do what everyone else is doing. I'm just saying I miss that form of play.
Dude is doing WWF moves with trash cans at both.
Yeah, dude. I was like, what the hell? I was telling Count, I was like, bro, this dude's he's a bad boy now. What is up with him now, bro?
Timmy had his Wolverine with the picture frame moment, like, yeah, with the bubble, but that's all good. Yeah. Mikey, parting words?
Don't have any parting words, but besides, go pick yourself up a yerba mate. If you see me at the game this weekend, come stop by and get a yerba mate. We can talk about it. We can chat and we can sip one. So
that's right. G30 brought to you by yerba mate.
Yeah,
all right, man.
That is insane.
Hit him with the socials, bro.
All right, guys. Well, if you listen this far into the podcast, you can come check us out on Instagram and Twitter at the G30 Podcast. That is the G30 Podcast. And if you'd want to come check me out on my socials, you can come do so at CFC Michael on Twitter. And that will be it for me today, boys.
Sammy.
You can find me on my Twitter at SpicyTaco118 and my Instagram is SpicyTaco18. You can keep up with us and the G30 fam and crew at G30 on Twitter and on Instagram. That's it for me.
And on YouTube, just not this week. We have
that's some, right.
That's just right. Not we got YouTube on this too. Week.
Usually on YouTube. And I am CountShock786. Peace, guys. We'll see you on the other side of the weekend. Later.
Peace. Later.